Hey, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in Matthew chapter 6. We're looking at verses 5 all the way through 13. Today is part 2 of a 4-part message series called We Give, and the title of today's message is We Give Prayer. We Give Prayer. I understand there's other ways to say that. I could title it like this: We Ask Prayers, We Say Prayers. But I want us to understand, going into this message this morning, is that prayer, a lot of times, takes sacrifice. Prayer, a lot of times, takes work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. And prayer can be something that we give. This is what followers of Christ do. We pray. We pray for our own needs. We pray for the sake of others. But ultimately, we pray for the glory of God. We pray for the glory of God in our church, among our nation, in our lives. And whenever we give prayer, what we are doing is we are aligning our hearts with the heart and mind and will of God Almighty. And the point of this series called We Give is to lead us to October the 1st. You see, October the 1st is a very important day for us in the life of our church. You see, God has blessed us with this wonderful and amazing facility, but we do still have some debt remaining on this facility that we as a church need to move forward in retiring, that we as a church need to move forward in paying off. So what we're asking you to begin doing is to start praying about what you would commit to, a 1-year or a 2-year or 3-year commitment in giving above your tithes and your offerings and helping us retire the debt on this facility so that we in turn can take those extra resources and use those for other things in the life of the church. There are little commitment cards that look like this all over the place. We passed these out a couple of weeks ago, and there are some at the back of the church as well. Begin praying about what you would commit above your tithes and offerings to helping us retire the debt on this wonderful facility. And on October the 1st, we're going to have a time of commitment that morning. Would you stand with me as we honor the reading of the beautiful Word of God? Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start out in verse 5 all the way down through 13. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Isn't that an amazing thought this morning to think about? That your Father knows what you need before you even ask him, that he is all-knowing. That's just an amazing thought. And Jesus says, pray then like this. Pray like this, he says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we come before your throne and we ask and we pray that you would teach us this morning the importance of prayer and how vital it is to a follower of Christ. So Lord, today we just ask and pray that you would teach us how to pray. Lord, help us to understand that without you, without dependence on you, for everything that we are doing, for everything that we need, that God, we're hopeless. We are hopeless without you. So, Father, help us to be people of prayer who would pray daily, who would come to you daily, God, and beseech you and ask you and plead with you and cry out to you, that we would be a people who would chase after you and talk with you, and that we would put out the effort and that we would give prayers, Lord, back to you for the glory and the honor of your name. God, thank you so much for even allowing us to approach you in prayer. So God, we just ask and pray that you would bless us this day, that you would teach us this day, that you would challenge us this day by the proclamation of your word. God, we need you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. John MacArthur writes, someone has said that many Christians offer their prayers like sailors use their pumps, only when the ship leaks. But to be obedient disciples of Christ, to experience the fullness of communion with God and to open the floodgates of heaven's blessings, believers must pray as Jesus prayed. In addition to that, we must know how to pray. If we do not know how to pray and what to pray for, it does little good to go through the motions. But if we know how to pray and then pray that way, every other part of our lives will be strengthened and put in proper perspective. So it begs this question this morning. How does a believer pray? And what should a believer pray? There are many examples of prayer all throughout the amazing Word of God. And here, Jesus gives us a clear prayer pattern to follow whenever we do pray. Jesus says this. He says, pray like this. In other words, Jesus says, follow this pattern whenever you do pray. Follow this prayer pattern. Everyone say prayer pattern. Try it again. Say prayer pattern. Jesus says, pray like this. So let's look at this amazing prayer pattern that Jesus gives us to follow this morning in our prayers. Whenever we give prayer, we should start by giving worship. Jesus says this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word Father here is the Aramaic word Abba, which is translated daddy. You know, there's something about just being around family that allows us to put our guard down, that allows us just to simply be ourselves whenever we are around family. You see, whenever you're around family, you don't have to be something or someone that you're not. Whenever you're around your family, you don't have to put on a show. Whenever you are around your family, you don't have to worry about impressing people. You see, whenever you are around your family, you can simply be yourself. And this is the same in approaching God in prayer. Whenever you come to approach God in prayer, you don't have to be someone you're not. You don't have to put on a prayer show. You don't have to impress God with fancy Bible words. Whenever you approach God in prayer, you can simply be yourself. Because Jesus says, whenever you come to God, pray like this. You are praying to your Father. You are praying to your daddy. You are praying to your Abba. He knows who you are. He knows who you are, so why be anything other than yourself? As a matter of fact, God desires you to be yourself. He desires you to be yourself and nothing more whenever you approach him in prayer. This means this, that whenever you approach your Father in prayer, you can stumble through your words. And you know what? It's okay, because he knows your heart anyways. Whenever you approach your Father, whenever you approach your Abba in prayer, you can be honest in your prayers. You know why? Because he knows your heart already. And Jesus says this, whenever you approach your Father in heaven, remember that you are approaching your Father who is in heaven. He is in heaven. And by reminding ourselves of this, that our Father that we are approaching is in heaven, this is a reminder, is that the God that we are approaching is a sovereign God. He is a sovereign God in heaven. He is the ruler in heaven over all things. He is not a dead God that we are approaching. He is a God that is high and exalted in the heavens that we have the privilege of approaching in prayer. He is our Abba. He is our Father. He is our Daddy who is in the heavens, the sovereign God over all. McGee writes, God is not a prisoner in this universe. He is beyond and above it. He is in the air spaces, in the stellar spaces, but he is far removed from his universe today. He is more than creation. He is the one sitting upon the throne of the universe, and he has it under his control. You see, it's our Father. It's our Abba. It is our Daddy that we are approaching, and he is in the heavens, and he is in absolute control. I talked about this last week. My grandpa, Jernigan, he passed away a few weeks ago. And my grandpa, he taught me how to pray. And I used to love listening to my grandpa pray. Whenever he would start off his prayers, he would start them off like this. There'd be just a faint pause. And then he would say these words, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. And then Jesus says this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed there is the word holy. Holy is your name. This could also be translated, Let your name be made holy. This is the recognition that the Heavenly Father that you are talking to, before you ask anything else, before you make any of your requests further on in your prayers, that the God that you are approaching is a holy God. There is no one like him. He is set apart. He is to be adored. He is to be honored. And he is to be worshiped whenever we approach him in our prayers. And this is how we should start off our prayers, is recognizing that we are talking to our daddy, our Abba, and we can simply be ourselves with him. He is in the heavens, and he is sovereign, and he is reigning over all. And then we should approach him. Holy is your name. We should approach him in worship. And whenever we give prayer, we should start by giving worship. Next, whenever we give prayer, we should pray for the glory and will of God to come to the earth. Jesus says this, "Your kingdom come and your will be done." The word kingdom here that Jesus uses is not talking about a geographical territory. It's talking about sovereignty and dominion. As the sovereignty and dominion and will of God is being done perfectly in heaven, we should pray that this same sovereignty, that this same dominion, that this same will of God would be done on the earth, in all aspects of the earth, in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our schools, in the government, as the sovereignty and the will of God and the dominion of God and the rule and the reign of God is being done in heaven, we should pray that this should be done in the church as well. We should pray this prayer every single day as a part of our prayers. God, would your sovereignty, would your dominion, would your rule, would your reign, would your will be done on the earth? Would it be done in my life? Would it be done in my home? Men, this is the greatest prayer that you could pray over your marriage. You should pray this prayer over your marriage. God, would your rule and your reign and your authority, would it be done in my marriage? Grandparents today, this is the greatest prayer that you can pray over your grandchildren. God, would your rule and your reign and your sovereignty and your dominion, would your will be done with my grandchildren? Parents out there today, this is the greatest prayer that you can pray over your kids. God, would your will be done? Would your kingdom come with my children? This is the greatest prayer that you can pray over your business and your workplace. As you serve the purposes of God through your job, God, would your rule and your reign, and would your dominion and your authority be done in my workplace? Listen, church, this is the greatest prayer that you can pray over your church. This is the greatest thing that you can pray over your church. If you ever want to know how you can pray for me, if you ever want to know how you can pray for the church, would you pray this prayer? I'm asking you, would you pray this prayer daily? God, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? Would your sovereignty and your rule and your reign and your power and your authority, would it be done at Lake Center Baptist Church? Not for us. Not for our name, but God, for the glory and the honor of your name. Francis Havergal, in the hymn, His Coming Glory, says this, "Oh, the joy to see thee reigning, thee, my own beloved Lord, every tongue thy name confessing, worship, honor, glory, blessing, brought to thee with glad accord, thee, my master and my friend, vindicated and enthroned, unto earth's remotest end, glorified, adored, and own." God always answers prayers that bring him glory. But he answers prayers that bring him glory in the way that he desires to receive the glory, not the way in which we think things should go. And whenever we pray for God's rule, his reign, his sovereignty, his dominion, his authority to be done in our marriages, in our children, in our grandchildren, in our families, in our businesses, in our lives, and most importantly, in the church, whenever we pray sincere prayers like this and mean it, we will see God show up among us and do things that can only be explained by him. When the true desire of our hearts is for God's will to be done in whatever we are praying for, then we can absolutely trust that God's will be done and that he will be the one to receive all of the glory. William Barclay says, "He insists that we must always remember that the God to whom we pray is a God of love, who is more ready to answer than we are to pray. His gifts and his grace have not to be unwillingly extracted from him. We do not come to a God who has to be coaxed or pestered or battered into answering our prayers. We come to one whose one wish is to give. When we remember that, it is surely sufficient to go to God with the sigh of desire in our hearts and on our lips, the words, "Thy will be done." And whenever we give prayer, we should pray for the glory and will of God to be done and to come to the earth in all aspects of our lives. Next, whenever we give prayer, we should pray that God would meet our needs. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. What is bread? Bread is what you need to live on every single day. And we should pray that God would meet our needs. God, give me the food that I need to be able to survive today. God, give my family the resources that we need to be able to live today. Martin Luther said that bread not only represents food, but is symbolic of all of our physical needs. Luther says this, that bread represents everything necessary for the preservation of this life as bread, including food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, and peace. And did you know that you should pray this prayer even if you have everything, even if you know that all of your needs will be met? Asking God daily to supply bread reveals that you are utterly dependent on him for everything. You see, I woke up this morning knowing that I was going to eat breakfast. I have a good idea that I'm going to have probably a turkey sandwich for lunch, all right? I know that I'm going to probably have something for dinner tonight. But even though I know these things, I should pray every single day for God to meet my needs, for God to supply my needs. Because whenever I'm doing this, I am saying, God, I am depending on you. I am depending on you for everything that I will receive today. And whenever we pray this prayer, we are saying, God, everything that I already have is yours. And everything that I have, God, you have already given me. But please understand that it doesn't mean that you can pray this prayer, God, give me my daily bread, and sit back and do nothing. The Bible says this, and it makes it very clear that working and praying for God to meet your needs, this goes hand in hand. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man doesn't work, he shall not eat. So praying for God to meet your needs still means that you go and you do your part. But also please understand that praying for God to financially meet your needs and to bless you means that you do your part financially as well. This means that if we're asking God to meet our needs and to bless us, that we can't, you know, go and blow our money on things that we don't need. It means that we can't go out and simply blow our resources and expect God to meet our daily bread. At the same time, we can't expect God to meet our needs and to bless us financially if we aren't giving to his purposes, if we aren't tithing. But if we are working, if we are living within our financial means, if we are giving to the purposes of God and doing what he says through his beautiful word, we can pray this prayer, God, give me my daily bread. God, give me what I need to survive today, and we can trust fully that God will give us what we need, that God will give us our daily bread. Whenever we give prayer, we should pray that God would meet our needs. Next, whenever we give prayer, we should deal with and confess sin. We should deal with and confess sin. The beginning of verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts. As a part of our prayer time, we should always deal with and confess sin in our life. The word debts here, it means trespasses. It means transgressions. It means sins. And the recognition that I should daily deal with and confess sin in my life in prayer to God is the realization that I will never be perfect on this earth. You see, whenever you become a follower of Christ, it doesn't make you sinless. It doesn't make you sinless whenever you become a follower of Christ. But whenever you do become a follower of Christ, it does mean that you will sin less. You see, none of us are perfect, and we will never be perfect. And whenever we pray, we should deal with and confess sin to God in times of prayer. What if you think today, well, Caleb, what if I don't have nothing to confess? What if I'm good? Listen to what John says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. That's what the Bible says, not me. And if you are a human being today, and I think all of us in this place, we all are humans, you will have sin in your life that you need to deal with. Sin in your life that you need to confess. I've noticed that whenever I am praying this prayer pattern, God, forgive me of my sin. And I truly do pray this prayer that God always shows me something. He always shows me something that in my life that's not like him, that I need to simply deal with, that I need to confess, that I need to get rid of. You know, I always pray this psalm as a part of my prayer pattern. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way, lead me in the everlasting way. Listen, if you pray this prayer, search me, O God, know my heart. God, search me and show me if there is any sin in my life. I'm telling you, if you pray that prayer and you mean it, God will reveal something in you that you need to confess. And whenever we do that, whenever we confess our sin to God, we can leave it right there. We can leave it right there at the cross, right there at the altar of our prayer time, and we can move on, knowing full well that whenever we confess our sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin. Whenever we give prayer, we should deal with and confess sin. Next, whenever we give prayer, we should offer forgiveness to others. The next part of verse 12, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Listen, if you truly do this first part of verse 12, if you confess your sin to God, if you ask God to search your heart and understand the magnitude of your own sin, you will truly forgive others in your times of prayer to God. But if you don't deal with your own sin in prayer to God Almighty, whenever you're going to Him in prayer, you will not have a heart of mercy toward others. And if you're not showing the same mercy of forgiveness to other people that God has shown you, you might really want to evaluate your heart. I understand that offering forgiveness to somebody is a difficult thing, especially if they have wronged you in a very bad way, if they have taken a family member's life, or if they have hurt you physically or mentally, if they have stolen from you. But this is what followers of Christ do. We talked last week about how we as followers of Christ, we give of ourselves. We serve other people. We serve other human beings. Today we're talking about, you know, giving prayer, giving sacrificial prayer back to God Almighty for His glory, for His purposes. But this is what followers of Christ do. We forgive as well. We offer forgiveness to other people. Thomas Manton writes, "There is none so tender to others as they which have received mercy themselves, for they know how gently God hath dealt with them." F.B. Meyer writes, "Prayer must be conceived in love and breathe forgiveness and trust for the supply of all the hunger of our nature. When God forgives, He forgives, that is, He casts out of His hand and mind and memory every trace of our sin. We may claim that God should repair as well as forgive, but we must be willing to deal with all others as God has dealt with us." Whenever we give prayer, we should offer forgiveness to other people. Next, whenever we pray, we should pray against sin and evil. We should pray against sin and evil. Verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This verse is not saying that you will never be tempted to sin. If you're not tempted to sin, guess what? You're dead. You are dead. You will be tempted to sin. A better way to think about this verse is this: God, leave us not in temptation. Or, God, allow us to be spared from difficult circumstances that would tempt us to sin. You're going to be tempted to sin. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So as a part of our prayer time, we should pray things like this. God, give me the strength to endure temptations. Give me the strength to endure the temptations to sin that will come my way. You're going to be tempted to sin. If you are a human being and you're following Christ, you will be tempted. And at the same time, if you are a follower of Christ, you're going to be attacked by the evil one. You're going to be attacked by Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Listen, church, you're going to be attacked. Satan is after you. He's after your mind. He's after your heart. He's doing whatever he can do to trip you up. He's after your family, grandparents out there. He's after your grandchildren. Parents out there today, he's after your children. And we should pray daily against sin, daily against the temptations to sin, against giving in to temptation. Daily we should fight Satan through prayer because we know full well that he is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A.W. Tozer, I love what he says here. Remember that without prayer you cannot win, and with it you cannot lose. That right there convicts me. That convicts me to pray every single day. That convicts me before I do anything else, before I start my day, that I've got to pray. Knowing full well that without prayer, I cannot win. Because without prayer, what we're saying is this: God, I can do it on my own. God, I've got this situation. God, I can make my marriage the way that I want to make it. God, I can handle this. And you, guess what? You can't. Without prayer, you cannot win. You cannot do it on your own. And with prayer, you cannot lose. J.C. Ryle says, we are here taught to ask God to deliver us from the evil that is in the world, the evil that is within our own hearts, and not least from that evil one, the devil. We confess that so long as we are in the body, we are constantly seeing, hearing, and feeling the presence of evil. It is about us and within us and around us on every side, and we entreat him who alone can preserve us to be continually delivering us from its power. This is what we do, followers of Christ. We have to pray. We have to pray. Without prayer, we will accomplish nothing of spiritual significance. Do you agree with that today? Without prayer, we will accomplish nothing of spiritual significance in our lives, in our families. Our workplaces will remain the same. And most importantly, without prayer, our church will accomplish nothing of spiritual significance. We have to be a people of prayer. This is what we do. This is what followers of Christ do. We pray. How do you do this practically? I'm talking about before you start your day, you're waking up at 5 a.m. and you're getting down on your knees and you're spending an hour in prayer and you're praying through this pattern. You're starting your prayers off with worship. God, holy is your name, and you're giving worship to God, and you're recognizing today that the God that you're talking to is the sovereign God. It means practically that you're getting with your spouse and you're praying with your spouse. God, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? It means that before you put your kids to bed, that you're gathering your kids up and you're praying this prayer pattern with them. Yes, it's good to talk to God all the time in prayer, to have breath prayers. We should pray all the time. I understand that. But I'm talking about hour-long prayers where we as the people of God are getting on our faces before God Almighty and we are crying out to him to do a work. We'll never see God do something without prayer. We can try as hard as we want on our own. We will never see God do nothing without prayer. Men, Are you leading your family to pray? Are you providing that example when your kids get out of bed? Do they see you praying? Are you leading your family to pray for the glory of God in your lives? Are you praying? Are you praying for this church? If you ever want to do something for your pastor, pray. Not just for me, but pray for our church, that we would see the glory of God show up among us in ways that can only be explained by Him. Are you praying about what you would possibly give to help us retire the debt on this facility? Are you praying about that? Are you praying, God, what would you have me to give? And if we pray daily for the glory of God in our church to show up in ways that can only be explained by Him, we would outgrow this facility. Amen? I mean, every single chair that we see that is empty today, if we got daily on our hands and on our knees and we prayed daily for the glory of God, every single chair would be full. We would see people come to Christ. We would see people living for Him. We would see our baptistry have to be filled every single day. But it starts with us, the people of God, locking arms in prayer and getting on our faces daily and asking God, do a work among us that can only be explained by you. There's no telling what God would do among us. There is no telling what God would do among us. And it's not just me praying. It's not just our deacons praying. It's not just our Sunday school teachers praying. It's all of us getting on our knees daily and praying for God's glory. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray. The key word there is if. If we would pray. If we would pray. You might say, well, Caleb, I don't know how to pray. Just start. Just start. Just try it. Remember, you're talking to your Abba. You're talking to your daddy. You don't have to have fancy Bible words. You can simply be yourself whenever you pray. E.M. Bounds says this, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. You know, we can also replace that word world with families. The more praying there is among our families, the better our families will be. You can replace it with marriage. The more praying there is in our marriages, the better the marriages will be. You can replace it with the church. The more praying there is in Lake Center Baptist Church, the better the church will be. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. The mightier the forces against evil. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries on His great work upon the earth. God conditions the very life and prosperity of His cause on prayer. Do we see this today, church? How important prayer is? This is what we as followers of Christ do. We give of ourselves. We give of ourselves. We talked about that last week, and if you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and listen. We give forgiveness, but we as followers of Christ, we must be people of prayers. And I'm talking prayers where we are going to battle with Satan. I'm talking prayers that are pushing back the forces of darkness. I'm talking about prayers that are going to heaven, that are going to heaven, and that never stop. God, show up and do a work among us that can only be explained by your glory. And I'm not talking about prayer just one time tomorrow. We'll remember this message and we'll pray tonight, we'll pray tomorrow. But I'm talking about in a month from now, when life gets tough and life is hard and things are coming up in our lives and we feel like we don't have time to pray, we say this, I'm not going to do anything until I pray. Because I know full well that whenever I approach it in my own strength, it's going to mess up, it's going to fail. But whenever I approach whatever I am doing in prayer, I know full well that I cannot lose. I will win because God will be the one directing it and shaping it and guiding it. And I can trust full well that whatever happens, that God will receive the glory. In closing, I want to read something that I read this past week from a pastor friend of mine that I'm sure many of you guys have heard. His name is Ted Kirsch. He was the former pastor at First Baptist Claremore. I've done some things with him, and he writes this. Hurricanes bigger and more powerful than ever. Irma is actually registering on seismometers because of the crashing of the waves. Fires in the western part of the nation, North Korea, is threatening to put the world into a nuclear disaster. A Congress that apparently does not know how to work together to accomplish anything. And both parties so proud that they will not accept an idea from one another, each other. They are more interested in themselves and the people they serve. And he says this, as a nation, we continue to refuse to turn to the Lord. It seems to me that the Lord is attempting to get our attention. How will you respond? Will we as believers spend our time talking about how our nation needs the Lord? Or will we bow our knee to the Father and ask for His mercy? This is a time to ask our Lord for revival. He is sovereign and involved in everything we are experiencing. It is all happening to bring glory to Himself. Let us begin right now asking our Lord to bring awakening to our nation. Keep your spiritual eyes opened and your spiritual ears tuned in, for He is speaking. We must listen. He is calling for repentance from His people. I don't know about you. I wrote this message, and I was convicted of this, of today. I was convicted today. Because any time that I do something in my own strength, what I am telling God is this, God, I can do it better. I can do it better. But whenever we become people of prayer and we say, God, I can't do anything without you. Our church can't do anything without you. Our family can't do anything without you. Our marriage cannot do anything apart from you. We will see God show up in ways that can only be explained by Him. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of something, don't you? I want to be a part of something that just doesn't make sense. That just doesn't make sense, where we see, you know, hundreds of people come to know God. Hundreds of people come into the faith, where we every single week have to fill our baptistries up because people are coming into the faith, because God is using His people, because we are depending on Him. And we are going to Him every single day in prayer. And I believe full well, I truly do believe full well, that we as a church will be a part of something that doesn't make sense whenever, every single day, we as a people lock arms and we pray as individuals, as families, before we do anything else as a part of our day, as we're ending our day, whenever you are best, you are dropping to your knees and you are crying out to God Almighty and you are praying through this pattern. God, holy is your name. You are my Abba. You are my Father. Holy is your name, and I worship the sovereign God of all. God, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven? God, would your sovereignty and your rule and your dominion and your reign and your power and your authority be done in my home and in my marriage, in my workplace, in my church? God, today I depend on you for everything that I need. Would you give me my daily bread? God, everything that I have is yours anyways. Everything that I receive, God, is yours. God, would you show me sin? God, would you reveal sin to me in my life? God, help me to forgive that person who wronged me, who cut me off in the road. Help me not to harbor that today. And God, today, as I go throughout my day, I ask and pray that you would keep us, that you would keep my family, that you would keep us from sin, that you would keep us from giving in to temptation. God, that you would keep us from Satan. And if we as a people would wake up daily and pray this prayer pattern, however God leads you to pray it, we would see God do some incredible things. Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? I don't know how God's speaking to you. I know how God's speaking to me. Is that I need to become more intentional in my prayers. Is that I need to show God that I am depending on Him for everything and not myself. That I am depending on God in my family, in my marriage, in my leadership, in the church. That's how God's speaking to me. And we will never, as a church, see anything happen of spiritual significance without approaching God in prayer. Deep, passionate prayers for His glory. So, will you as a church, will you as a people commit to being a people of prayer? And if you are a person of prayer, that you would even consider how you would take your prayers to another level. Not for us, not so that we can get bigger houses or better cars, but so the glory of God will be made known among us. The glory of God will take over us in ways that can only be explained by Him. Would you commit as a people to take wherever your prayer is at, just one step forward? Maybe for some of you, it's starting to pray. Maybe for some of you, it's starting to pray with your spouse. Men, maybe for some of you, it's you leading your family in prayer at the dinner table or praying with your kids before bed. Whatever it is, I just ask that you would take one step forward in your prayer life today. Whatever that is, that you would take one step forward. Maybe today God has spoken to you as He's spoken to me. And maybe today you just need to make a commitment to God that I'm going to take my prayers one step forward. Maybe you're here today and you don't know what it means to be a follower of Christ. And you just have this thing going on in your heart where you feel like someone's drawing you or someone's speaking to your heart about becoming a follower. That's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is drawing you to become a follower of Christ. The Bible says this, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just this morning, if you don't know what it means to be a follower of Christ and you feel the Spirit of God in your heart just talking to you, just call on Jesus to save you from your sin. Just call on Him to save you from your sin. And the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How's God speaking to you today? What do you need to pray for? Men, today, would you commit to lead your families in prayer? Would you even come to the altar in a few moments and pray this prayer pattern by a statement of faith? By a statement of faith saying, God, I'm going to take my prayers to the next level. Would you do that, men? I know you can pray from your seats, but would you, as soon as we start to sing this song, come forward as a statement of faith saying, I'm going to be a man of prayer. I'm taking my family to another level in prayer. Women, would you do that? There's something about just the comfort of knowing that that a woman is praying for me, that my grandma is praying for me, that my mom is praying for me. There is something just significant about that. Would you take that step this morning and by faith come to this altar and say, I'm going to become a person of prayer. I'm taking that next step forward in prayer. You be obedient to God as He is calling you to do so. God, thank you so much for the promises that we see in Scripture, that if we would call out, if we truly would cry out and pray, that You would show up and do things among us that can only be explained by You. So God, help us to be a people who would do that. And lastly, if you're out there and you need prayer for something, you need someone to pray over you, there's those of us up here who would love to pray for you. Please understand how important prayer is. Without prayer, you cannot win. With prayer, you can win. So if you need prayer today for something, you come forward and you receive that prayer. But you be obedient to God today as He is speaking to you. God, we love You. Work throughout this time. In Your name we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing.